We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
PM team here on 93.7 The Fan. Andrew Filippone will be back tomorrow. He has been off for the past week. This is his final day off before riding back to your rescue if you have been tortured by the way the show has sounded. I hope not, though. We're trying. We're doing our level best here. I'm posting prom pictures of myself so that you can roast me. We've had some good ones so far. When you look up the year 2004 in Google Image, this is the image that comes up. My prom picture, Craig. That's rough. You know what people haven't picked up on yet? Somebody even noticed I had very slightly frosted tips. There's an earring in there, too. I'm rocking an earring. It is a frightening look. It is a very frightful look. That's all I'm going to say about it. So go look at that, then go look at Hathorn's prom picture, which is much classier. White tux, little fuchsia, cummerbund. It's a good look. He's cultivated a good look altogether. I think I goofed on Pierre because I think he was busy today. Craig, just come on the mic and say it.
He has slightly bigger fish to fry. He's going into a Hockey Hall of Fame committee meeting.
I am almost convinced that at the beginning of our interview, maybe, he might have said that last week, and I totally blanked.
But he still picked up because it was us to say, like, hey, if you guys forgot, I just wanted to let you know, not just, like, not answering his phone like most people would do.
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty sure I forgot.
So he said, "That just call me next week. We'll be good."
Yeah, that one's on me. As soon as you like were on the phone there, I was like, I think I wasn't supposed to call Pierre today. I think Pierre was out for today. Do you think I ruined it?
No, absolutely not. He was borderline apologetic that he was unavailable to us.
Oh, all right. Well, you smoothed it over, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I blamed you. I threw you right under the bus.
I knew it as soon as you called. I was like, man, I think Pierre said he had something going on. I think the worst part is he said it on the air last week, and I just totally space cadeted on the whole thing, conceptually. I want to say, you know what, I can say more about the draft, though, right now. I can, because it was, I don't know about anybody else, it was weird to see the Penguins actually picking, and here's why. Is known that Jim Rutherford views the team right now as one that's still in a championship window. And Samuel Poulin, the guy that they got, Poulin, son of former NHLer Patrick Poulin, who never really amounted to what people thought he would in the league, he is not a guy that helps the team right away. Like, if you read anybody's write-up of this after the fact, you knew that he was like a 2 to 3 years away guy. And people said, oh, in the QMJHL, Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, thank you. Yes, I know what I'm saying. That he was the youngest captain in the league, I think at 17 years old. Because that's a league of like 18, 19-year-olds. I mean, that's a league of older teenagers, obviously. People were talking about his maturity level. They asked him about it. He said, oh, in a perfect world, you'd love to come up and play right away. But then he pretty quickly said, yeah, but realistically, 2 to 3 years, get faster, get stronger, etc. Basically get better at hockey and then come up and join the Penguins. This is not a man who is going... He's a kid. He's a teenager. This is not a kid who is going to help the Penguins in 2019. Nor is he probably going to help them in 2020. In 2021, he'll probably join the team. At which point you say, what? What is he joining? Do you think people realize... I mean, do people listening realize that about these guys? By 2021, when the first-round draft pick here is ready, if they haven't traded him away already to try to get somebody else, which, let's be honest, is extremely plausible. But say he's actually still here and ready to come up and play. He's a prototypical power forward. Patrick Hornquist, but bigger and even better, maybe, right? What's there going to be to save? That is the question I keep asking myself, is what is there going to be in 2021 to save? Anything? Anything of real substance? Because when I actually sit and think about the Penguins in 3 years, it is very difficult for me to conceptualize them being a top contender still. It feels like that's the Maple Leafs' time in the East, doesn't it? Matthews will be in his mid-20s. Their core of players should be at, like, its peak. Tampa Bay might still be hanging around, being really good. It feels like they're still more in the entering phase of the window, which is crazy to say, but I think they are. It's hard to ask Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, which is really the ones you're... I think Malkin's contract is going to be in its final year at that point. And I could probably look this up on one of the many websites that are devoted to exactly that thing. It's going to be a transitional period. I put up a poll question and got the usual smart-alecky response from people. In the next 3 years, is it more likely that the Penguins either miss the playoffs or win another cup? Almost 60% of people miss the playoffs once. Say that that's more likely. In 2021, when Samuel Poulin is ready, or on the timetable that people think he's going to be on, the Penguins might not resemble the team that you're watching right now. And I still think that's going to be one of the hardest truths in this town to swallow. Think about what they've done. Think about what they have actually done for the last, what would it be? I mean, decade and a half almost. There is an entire generation. So if you're a kid who was, I'm trying to think, like, if Lennox was born right when the Flames and Lightning played and then the NHL locked out, right? So that's, they lost the 04-05 season. So that would have been, say Lennox is born in the summer of 2004, right after that game happens, that game seven between Iginla and Le Cavalier and it's all that. Lennox at that now would be 15 years old. And as a Penguins fan, presumably, he would not know more or less as an aware human being what it was like to watch a team that didn't make the playoffs. They've been in the playoffs since every year but Crosby's first. He wouldn't know what it's like to watch a team that doesn't contend for the Stanley Cup very seriously on a regular basis either. He'd have been 5 years old, probably just old enough to be really into it when they won their first one. And then as he would have gotten into his early teen years, the really rabid sports years where you're consuming everything you can if you're people like me or Craig or Pony or anybody here that really loves sports, they're winning back-to-backs. That is how long it has been since they stunk or were not a fixture in the NHL. And all of that dovetails with the Crosby-Malkin era. I do think it's going to be one of the weirdest rude awakenings in Pittsburgh. Not rude awakenings, but it's going to feel very odd in the pretty near future when they're not very good. And I'm not even positive that most Penguins fans understand the degree to which they will almost certainly be terrible. Like, they're not going to win a lot once these guys age out of their primes. To ask them to do that would be to ask them to either do one of two things. Do like a soft rebuild on the fly and somehow get really lucky with a lot of players that nobody has pegged for stardom, right? That's one. Implement the kind of trapping defensive system that they hate and really vow never to play. That's another way, and they won't do that. They would rather, I think, be a mediocre team that scores a ton of goals than be a great team that traps or clogs or interferes because it's antithetical to everything they believe in as a franchise. Or three, get incredibly lucky for the third straight time on a generational talent. I'm not betting on that happening again. So when it goes, and it might go as soon as 2021, that would be my target year. You've got two more years where Crosby, before he gets into his mid-30s, there could be a time and place where Crosby's like 35 and the team around him is just dog vomit. Like, they are just, it's Crosby and Gensel and they're just holding on, trying to will a team to like 92 points to get in. And then Murray's young, but he's just one guy. I feel like Jim Rutherford knows this and is trying to max out probably the next 2 years if I had to get specific on it, and then realizes that after that 2 year run or so, unless he gets really lucky and it's 3 more years where these guys are all kind of still in good, I think he knows that it's time to just scoot away. Craig, off the top of your head, when's Rutherford, when's his contract through? At least 2 more years, I believe.
That's what I was going to guess.
At least 2 more. Man, couldn't you see him just riding off into the sunset after that? Especially if they somehow pulled one out of the next 2 seasons.
November 2018, he signed a 3-year extension.
So, through November 2021.
If it wasn't just an extension on top of years. Yeah, 2021, 2022 will be his last season.
Man, if you were him, wouldn't you just like try to maybe... Okay, so here's what he's doing then, right? That's going to be his last season. He'll be in his mid-70s almost by then. He's going to try to max the window till right up to that point, and then peace out of here.
I'm not worried about setting it up for the next guy. I'm trying to win.
I don't think anybody would want him to be. I think he'd be derelict of duty if he was saying, oh, I'm trying to give it a soft landing for the next guy. I'd be like, dude, I want the next guy to not have any pieces at all. I'm burning this. I am torching the place once I'm done here. But I don't know if people like actually understand that. I don't know if people visualize it. Like when the Pirates reached their expiration date in 1992, and everybody knew Drabek was gone, Bonds was gone, and with them was going to go like them being a really good team for a while. I don't think people understood. I'm not talking about 20 years of losing. I don't think people understood quite what the next 2 or 3 years for sure were going to foretell. I really don't. It's going to be about that ugly for the Penguins. And if you're somebody that didn't live through the early 2000s post-Yager, I don't really know if you can understand how bad that 02, 03, or 03, 04 edition of the Penguins was. They sucked, and no one went. And I wonder if they built a strong enough brand to kind of overcome that when it happens again here in a couple of years. All right. Think about the most embarrassing thing that's happened to a Pittsburgh sports team lately. I don't know. What would it be? There have been some moments, right? For Pittsburgh sports, the Steelers have been a drama factory. Pirates have occasionally bitterly disappointed us. You'll get the stray random story from the Penguins, right? Coming up next, I will preview the segment by saying only this. At least you're not a fan of the New York Mets. Text us on Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I'll explain to you why it's good that you're not a fan of the Mets coming up next. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at 937TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations, North Huntington and the North Hills. It's the PM team. Andrew will be back from his Jamaica vacation tomorrow. All right, Craig, since we're talking about the Mets, it's worthwhile to have a quick pony diversion here, or a digression. No, wait.
He's not even supposed to be a Mets fan anymore, is he?
No, he got back on, because the Pirates slid as soon as he threatened to join the Pirates. It was like
there's a surprise.
It was the pony curse in real life. Does he, because I don't know if he's traveling today, if like the day off is for traveling time. I mean, Jamaica's not that far away, but.
What time zone is Jamaica in?
Craig.
I truly have no idea.
Craig. Really?
Very much really.
Do you think Jamaica is... You know it's south of here. Do you think?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Do you think Jamaica is east?
I just looked it up. They're the same time as us?
Yes.
I would have thought behind us.
You would have thought like in the central time, like
yeah, like
Texas.
West.
So, okay. I don't know what to think. Sometimes I don't know what to think of you. I don't. Like, I think I would have been able to pick out Jamaica immediately on a map of the Caribbean with no names of the countries. Point being,
obviously I couldn't.
It is not that far away. It's in the Eastern time zone. Do you think Andrew, whose work ethic is legendary in this building and really in the industry from the people that know him, just the preparation, do you think he hits the ground sprinting tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think on some level... For like at least a day or two, he's been itching to get back on the air.
Yes, and I think he's already been like researching what he wants to talk about tomorrow.
Do you think that on some level he doesn't like vacations because he is so like
I think he enjoys the vacations, but I think his mind is still working while he's on them.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would say the same about myself.
You shut it down.
Oh, my brain rarely turns on to begin with, A. And B, when I'm on vacation, my brain shuts off hard. It's like when it's not sleep mode. It's not a restart. It is a full shutdown. The computer's off. The mouse is off. All the monitors are off. And we're zoning out. I think he's hitting the ground running. Like, I'm going to walk in here tomorrow, and he's going to have been here for like 2 hours already, raring to go.
I would agree with
that. I don't know how I should feel about that. I probably should feel like I need, you know, I'm like Adam Eaton. I feel like I should just, you know, maybe just work harder.
I look at it like we have one of the hardest working people around. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying how should I feel about it from like my own part? Oh, no, I love it from a coworker's standpoint.
Oh, absolutely.
No, but like looking in the mirror at night, I'm like, man, I do not do as much. I kind of suck at this. All right. You know what else sucks? Being a Mets fan. Do you know why being a Mets fan sucks? Among other reasons. Even when your team is not utterly atrocious, and the Mets are 37-41, they're basically the Pirates. Although they have not gotten outscored to the degree that the Pirates have. They're minus 21 on the season. They're about what you would expect a team that's 37-41 to be. As a matter of fact, their little Pythagorean, which takes into account run differential, is their actual record. So they're very much where they should be, right? They're a mediocre baseball team. What sucks so much about being the Mets is you're in New York. There's an expectation that you be good, that you be the Yankees, right? Or that you compete with them for people's adulation. The Yankees are the A team in town. They're bigger than the Giants. They're the biggest team in New York. But if the Mets are really good for a couple of years, you'd think they'd capture people's attention, right? Except the only time the Mets ever seem to make headlines is when they do something unbelievably stupid or act like children. Enter Mickey Callaway and Jason Vargas. Mets lose a game to the Cubs on Sunday. And after the game, you're in the clubhouse. This guy, Tim Healy for Newsday. It was a tense post-game session for Mickey Callaway, according to this story in The Athletic. Callaway said, Callaway snapped at this Tim Healy for saying, "See you tomorrow, Mickey." Which I have to believe Craig was said with a tone, or at least in Callaway said, thought there was a tone. So Callaway responds with, "Don't be a bleep, bleep, bleep." Or I'm sorry, the first part of the second word doesn't need to be bleeped. It's the person that brings you into this world. The second part of the word needs to be bleeped, and I think you know what it is. Callaway comes back through the clubhouse. I'm reading right from this Tim Britton Athletic story. Healy says, "I was trying to be polite." Callaway says it was antagonistic. Shouts to a Mets PR guy, "Get the bleep out of here. We don't need that bleep." Pitcher Jason, this is the best. This is where it goes from like a 6 to a 10. Because I just imagine this being like a clubhouse full of angry, grunting idiots at this point, right? Just afterwards, pitcher Jason Vargas asked Healy what he was looking at. Healy said, "It looked like you have something to say." Vargas replied, "I'll knock you the bleep out, bro," taking two aggressive steps toward him before being held back. Then the guy departs the clubhouse. And this is the best part. The Mets then have to send out this statement. "The Mets sincerely regret the incident that took place with one of our beat writers following today's game in the clubhouse. We do not condone this type of behavior from any employee. The organization has reached out and apologized to this reporter and will have further discussions internally with all involved parties." The part of it that makes me laugh so hard is the Vargas part. Is he so fired up that he just decides he wants to fight this guy? "I'll knock you the bleep out, bro." Here's a question, Craig, for you. Do you actually think in that situation, if the teammates don't stop him, he goes and takes a swing at the reporter?
Not a chance.
I don't think there's a chance in hell. And if he gets right up in the reporter's face and tries to do the whole, "I'm in your personal space, let's have a go, like, try me," isn't the move there, if you're the reporter, as best you can muster? Because I get that these are pro athletes, usually big, strong human beings. to just stand your ground and like lean back towards him a little bit, because then what is he going to do? Go nose to nose? That guy hits you, you sue him, do you not?
That's what I was just about to ask. How much money is Jason Vargas making this year?
Not enough to get into a lawsuit, I would think. If you're Jason Vargas, I think the last thing you want is somebody to sue you with good reason. I'm looking him up right now. What do you think he makes off the top of your head?
A million still.
Millions?
Yeah.
No, I got it for you. Jason Vargas is making $8 million.
Yeah.
How is Jason Vargas older than me?
He's like 36.
I know.
He?
I thought he was like 30. Nah, Jason Vargas. See, this is what I don't get about baseball. And hey, anytime the players get their money, I'm for it. Jason Vargas has made $63 million in his career to pitch to a 4.25 ERA. He is, by any objective measure, at best, on his best day, a slightly, ever so slightly above average pitcher. Again, not faulting it, but that is wild to me. In any other sport, can you be so close to average and make that much money?
No.
I'm trying to think, like, I guess in basketball.
NBA.
Well, okay, and that's good. I'm glad the players have the strength in their union to get that done, but it is just wild. The baseball numbers always get me. You look up a guy, you're like, he wasn't ever that good. Then you find out that he made like $96 million in his 10-year career, and it just blows you away how this works. Do you realize Jason Vargas led the American League in wins 2 years ago?
I did not.
He was an 18-game winner.
Did he punch a reporter that year?
He was an 18-game winner with a 4.16 ERA. If that doesn't prove once and for all that wins are very overrated, I do not know what does. What's 32? He was pitching like not even 6 innings a start, and he won 18 games. That is in-freaking-credible. All right, I'm done. Pony's a Mets fan, though. I can't wait to ask him.
Welcome
about
home,
this.
Andrew. Here's your team.
I was going to say, I can't wait to ask him about this. You know he's going to have an opinion on it. He's going to have an opinion on what they said, and he'll also definitively have an opinion on that Newsday reporter.
He spent a whole day or a whole week away relaxing and comes home to that, and all the relaxation just gone.
Who found out about, because I saw this story yesterday. Who found out about the story first, me or Pony?
You, I would think.
I don't know about that. The fan hotline. Brought to you by Armstrong Business. Pierre Maguire was supposed to appear on it, except he really wasn't because I screwed that up and forgot that he literally told us on the air yesterday, or last week, that he couldn't be on the air this week. Whoops. Hey, here's something cool going on. You can join us, the PM team, on the Primanti Brothers World Tour. Grab your passport at any of the locations when the PM team, that again being us, is there, and get it stamped at least 4 locations. So grab your passport at any location when we're there. Get it stamped at least 4 locations. Are you ready for this, Craig? You listening? For your chance to win a trip to Florida. Okay, like big time right here. Primanti Brothers World Tour. Grab the passport at any of the locations when we are there. The PM team. Get it stamped at least 4 different locations for your chance to win a trip to Florida. You can visit 93.7 The Fan's contest page for the dates, locations, and details.
Is that just like anybody can win that?
I don't think you can, big guy. What state would you move to if you were moving away?
The state I would move to?
Yeah.
Florida.
You can't pick the city. We can send you to any city of at least 500,000 people, like metro area. So you can't end up in Wyoming by this. You can't end up in Montana or Idaho. I'm not sending you anywhere out there. Going Florida still?
Yeah, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Josh Miller territory.
We went there for our 5th anniversary, spent a few days there, and I fell in love with the place.
See, this is why I wish I had a little touchscreen in here with all the quick hits, because I would have the Josh, I hate you, queued up very quickly every time. Anyway. Am I crazy? So, did you work yesterday's game?
I did not.
You didn't work?
Friday and Saturday.
Am I nuts? Was Clint Hurdle trying to make sure the Pirates didn't sweep yesterday?
Some curious decisions made.
I'm focusing mainly on one. Maybe Clint Hurdle actually agrees with me that they can't get suckered in by fool's gold here. The fact that they swept and they can't get extremely excited about it because they don't want to do anything rash, which, hey, if he was playing fourth dimensional chess here like this, good for him. I have no idea in the eighth inning of this ball game yesterday, which, of course, in the end, nobody is going to make too much of a stink about it, except for apparently me. I have zero clue why he left poor Jeff Hartlieb in to die on the vine. Strikes out Mario and Hedges to start the inning. Great. And then gets jobbed on a walk, on a bad call. I get it. I do. It was, should have been a strike. He should have been out of the inning. But then things continue to compound in a bad way for Jeff Hartlieb. He issues a four-pitch walk after striking out two batters with me there. And then he walks Tatis. That one is a tough one. At that point, you would be getting somebody up, right? Two walks. It's Hartlieb. It's not Mariano Rivera. No. Hosmer, he walks. Now the guy that you already got up in this perfect world, like, I don't know, Liriano to face Hosmer, by the way, would have been nice. Now you've gotten somebody up, maybe on both sides here, to face Manny Machado. Nope. Don't have that either. So there's Hartlieb. Poor Jeff Hartlieb. Dying on the vine. Manny Machado bloops a double that scores two runs. And then the only reason Hartlieb gets out of the inning is because of a caught stealing. What? And it was caught stealing home, by the way. As Hosmer tried to go. What is... Craig, you got anything for me here? You've watched this all week, and here's why I can't... Here's why I'm having trouble with the decision-making here. Why it just feels like it's such... I'm not going to say shot. It's just like he had already kicked the can on down the road. They had a day off today. Why would you not sort of empty the bullpen in this situation? When Jeff Hartlieb gets up, even if he gets the first two guys, the minute he walks Garcia, I think, to put one man on, I'm getting somebody loose. Or why are you not having action when the inning starts from somebody, just in case there's going to be somebody who comes in to put out a fire?
No, it's like once they turn it over to these middle relief type guys, they're essentially saying, like, once we put one of these guys in, we're done.
So Stratton pitched the ninth inning, right? Once that, Stratton could have been up and ready to go in the eighth if they really wanted somebody else. I'm telling you, after one walk, I'd have given him a chance because it's a four-pitch walk, so it makes me a little leery. But then he has a long battle with Tatis that ends with the walk, the controversial walk, right? Or am I getting my walks mixed up? I can't even remember now if it's Tatis or Hosmer.
There were quite a few of them.
Well, there were three of them in a row. One was on, whatever. At that point, when you've walked two, that's where I'm done. I check out. Hey, two good strikeouts, now you're out. And yet, Clint Hurdle just let him go in there. And this is one of those things where, okay, they have this thrilling comeback. Kirby Yates hasn't blown a save all year. They get to him for three runs. They get down three runs again, and then, screw it, we're going to come back again and win this one with four in the 11th. Great. I have a very hard time getting inside Clint Hurdle's head as to what he was actually doing there. I got nothing. I sat here and tried to think about it. I was watching, I'm watching the game like semi-passively, and it felt like, and this should never be the manager's, I think, tack. It felt like he said, once Hartlieb got the two strikeouts, no matter what happens this inning, short of Jeff Hartlieb, like, having his arm fall off mid-inning, he's finishing the inning. And at that point, and this is, I guess, the worst part, you're down one run. Yates is perfect on the season, but it's not like being down one run means you just give up. So what, Jeff Hartlieb just gets to figure it out there? It could have been worse. If Hosmer scores in that inning, they lose the game. And essentially they lose it if they lose 8-7 in this hypothetical because the manager didn't want to pull a guy who had clearly lost it, who walked the bases loaded. I would love if we could get like next level stats breakdowns as far as how many times a reliever, like last year for example, walked the bases loaded in the inning he started. He comes into the game in an inning, walks the bases loaded, and still finishes the inning. It cannot be that many or a high percentage of the time. And you would think if there was a time when it happened, it would be you strike out the first two, walk the next three, and then maybe you get an out. He didn't, of course. It felt like they were playing against their own manager, I'll be honest. And I can't abide by that. I'm not somebody that feels that the team should make any kind of rash maneuvers here. Neil Huntington says they're kind of in the middle, and I would lean towards they're not going to contend. I think it would take a real stunning run and a lot of health and a lot of performance from their pitchers, up and down the line, not just starters. But if you're going to try to be winning baseball games, if you haven't counted yourselves out, you can't have your manager doing stuff like that. That's a non-starter for me. And I would hope that people, I know this was the case on Twitter. People are just scratching their heads. What's he doing? Apparently it's just Jeff Hartlieb's game now. We're all just watching it. Screaming, by the way. 5 o'clock hour brings with us the following. An embarrassing admission from me around 5:30. Craig has, I think, endorsed this, which makes me feel even worse about it. Plus, guess who's coming back tomorrow? It's not Andrew Filippone. Somebody else is going to be making news again in the Pittsburgh sports scene tomorrow. And it might not be good for the Pittsburgh sports scene either. We're going to talk about all that, but at the top of the hour.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.